Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost yet again to the New Orleans Pelicans, this time on the road by a score of 120-116. Alright, so I'm just going to say this out the top, and then I don't want to mention it too much else beyond that. But as you can see, if you're watching on YouTube, if you can't, well, listen up, because the Pelicans shot 28 free throws in the fourth quarter. 28 in the fourth quarter. I didn't look up if that's a record or not, but I'm just going to assume that's a record. I'm not sure what was happening in the 2002 Kings-Lakers matchups, but I imagine it was like that. I don't know if I saw Shaq out there for the Pelicans tonight. I saw Zion, but he's definitely not Shaq. But yeah, 28. 28 is just a funny number, you know. 28 is a big number. It's a very big number. Yeah. And the Raptors, by the way, for the whole game, shot 27 free throw attempts. So, in one quarter, the Pelicans shot more free throws than the Raptors. And it happened to be in the fourth quarter, which is frustrating, you know? So I got to get that out of the way. I mean, look, you know, there were some legitimate free throws in there, I guess. Kyle got a tech. Kyle picked up a flagrant. I didn't really agree with the flagrant, but whatever. Didn't really agree with the tech either, but whatever. Three free throws there. You know, some legitimate fouls. For some reason, TD decided to body check JJ Redick on a three-pointer, and that's three free throws. And of course, the play that sealed the loss was Norman Powell helping off the corner and reaching in completely unnecessarily against Brandon Ingram, who did have a step on OG, but Chris Boucher was there at the help. Norm was in the corner. And yeah, I mean, you know, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's a legitimate foul. I got no complaints about that. That's a reach in. Norm shouldn't have reached in. But at the same time, 28 is 28. And when you look at the number, it is staggering. I just want to point this out. One more thing before, just let me be salty, okay? Because really, the Raptors played well tonight for legitimate stretches. And I don't actually have that many negative things to say about the team as a whole. You know, I think Pascal obviously, is going to have to bear some criticism because he legitimately did not play well enough today. But, you know, the Raptors on the season have been outshot in five games. They have been outshot by 47 free throws by their opponent. So, that's a big number. That's a big number. Hello, I am Tom Haberstroh with your big number. That big number is 47. Raptors have been outshot in the free throw department by 47 by their opponents. Yeah, I mean, in five games, it's unbelievable. That's 9.7 points per game. You know, it's a lot. It's a lot. You're losing by 10 points a game on just on free throws attempted alone, pretty much. So that's tough. But just putting that aside and that ridiculous number aside, I just want to talk about the game itself. So you know, Raptors got off to a little bit of a slow start. It was pretty clear from the jump that Pascal was not going to be too involved in a positive way. Got some early foul trouble, to be honest, did not play well. And I'll touch on Pascal. I just want to touch on the positives first. Raptors got off to a slow-ish start. Second quarter, the Raptors played some pretty, pretty good defense. I thought the Raptors bench outplayed the Pelicans bench easily. The Pelicans and the Raptors actually had the two lowest scoring benches coming into this game. But the Raptors bench played really well. The Pelicans starters came in, and they played better than the Raptors starters. But Raptors bench were doing real progress there. I thought they Nick did a good job of mixing up a little bit of his lineups. They played a lot of zone. A lot of it worked out. And the Raptors actually had the lead heading into halftime. Now, of course, the same pattern as it has been all season outside of the Knicks game, because the Knicks are the Knicks. The Raptors lost the third quarter. They lost the third quarter by 10 points this time. They lost the third quarter, I think, by 16 in the first loss to the Pelicans. Yeah, so that's bad, and the Raptors keep doing that, and I think the Pelicans starters really outplay the Raptors starters tonight, especially the number one position. Between when you look at Brandon Ingram and Pascal, it was not close. But again, I'll talk about Pascal. But the Raptors go into the fourth quarter. They're trailing by double digits. It looks like they're dead in the water. The Raptors go small. They try to, you know, make a push, and they actually did. You know, I saw shades of last season in there. In terms of last season, it was, you know, never underestimate the heart of a champion, that sort of never say die kind of passion, that drive, that urge, that hunger, you know, to make a comeback. The Raptors were never out of a game last year. Never, never. And that's what happened tonight. 14-2 run by the Raptors over a four-minute span there in the fourth quarter. And you know, if you're watching it, if you just aren't like a stone cold cynic, which there are a lot of those in the Raptors fan base. Sometimes I consider myself that, but not really. It gets your blood pumping, man. And you know, my blood was definitely pumping. I was definitely screaming inside my apartment, which is not welcome. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Raptors made a 14-2 push, and there were a lot of good things happening. I think the Raptors got a lot of stops with their zone defense. And I think that allowed them to get out on the run and on the move. But I also thought the Raptors played quicker defense. They were more aggressive during that stretch, and they got a lot of buckets that I think they could just generally have throughout the course of the game, but their pace seems to always drop a little bit. It doesn't stay consistently high throughout the game, so those easy baskets disappear. But during that 14-2 run, you know, you got OG Anunoby slipping to the basket, you know, muscling it in for an and-one. You get you know, OG Anunoby in the corner, in the right corner. Kyle Lowry drives, collapses the paint, kicks out to OG. OG missed a lot of threes early on. So many open corner threes. But second half, he, you know, he was 2-for-2. And he had the three during that stretch. You know, there was a bit of a scramble kind of play. The ball gets tapped out to Fred. And then Fred, you know, cashes the open three at the top. You know, Kyle does a little bully ball drive layup against Josh Hart, who obviously, being Villanova guys, they have played each other quite often, and Kyle knows how to play Josh Hart. Drove in there for a bully ball layup. And then Norm, to cap it off, one-on-one, late shot clock situation, he just pulls up over Alonzo Ball, and he gets the three to drop. That gave the Raptors the lead, and honestly, it was looking incredible. It was looking incredible. Now, what happened from that point when the Raptors, I think, took a 2 or 3 point lead, about 3 minutes left, the Raptors just didn't play well enough offensively to sort of sustain that. The Pelicans were able to get, you know, a few baskets, and the Raptors just weren't really able to create too much. OG had a driving layup that, you know, drew a foul, and he got two free throws, and he split them. That's pretty much the extent of what they got, but a lot of empty trips offensively for the Raptors during that stretch. And, you know, it became a close game. Again, I mean, it was always a close game, but it became a close game again. You know, it's sort of who can execute. And honestly, the Pelicans had a star down the stretch that can consistently deliver. Pelicans didn't run anything too clever, just gave the ball to Brandon Ingram, and the Raptors just struggled to cover that. I mean, the Raptors struggled to cover Brandon Ingram both games now. One of the issues is when you have a guy like Zion on the floor, you're putting OG on Zion. So then who are you putting on Brandon Ingram? Now, obviously, the ideal answer would be Pascal, considering he's the other wing defender on this team. I mean, starting five, at least, but he wasn't on the floor because he had fouled out in this game. And I'll get to Pascal. I promise I'll get to Pascal, man. It was a disappointing game for Pascal. But, you know, the Raptors just struggled with covering Brandon Ingram. Even when Pascal was in the game, Brandon was scoring. And Brandon was hitting the outside jumper, the mid-range jumper. And the passing was decent. And the Raptors, you know, they showed him different looks. They tried different defenders on him. You know, Fred was on him a little bit. Kyle was on him a little bit. Pascal was on him a little bit. OG had a couple possessions on him, too. And the Raptors tried different schemes, you know, sort of playing him more straight up. You know, with the big dropping back, you get to the mid-range, hit the jumper, or pull up for three. You know, when the Raptors trapped him, and sometimes the Raptors trapped him so aggressively that they had two people on the logo coming up against Ingram. Ingram's, because he's 6'11", he could just see over the top of the defense, kick it to Adams rolling down to paint. And then it's a 3-on-2 situation. You know, Adams got to the rim one time against Fred, and Fred had to foul him because, you know, obviously. Adams then, you know, one time kicked it to Josh Hart for a corner three. So, you know, it was a real struggle throughout the course of the game, throughout the course of the fourth quarter even. The Raptors trying to change that. And then the Raptors went to a small ball lineup, no Pascal on the floor. They switched a lot of stuff. And, you know, ultimately it was Ingram driving, and the Raptors just couldn't stop him. You know, OG gave up a foul one time. Bit of a soft foul, but, you know, I don't know, man. It's still a star player driving one-on-one, some contact. You know, offensive players probably going to get the benefit of the doubt there. And then the final possession, you know, Norm reaches out and grabs him. But it's unfortunate. It really is unfortunate. And honestly, actually, the most unfortunate part was this three by Eric Bledsoe, where, again, Ingram was running the ball, you know, running the play, and Fred was guarding him. And, again, I'm sorry to gripe on the referees, but Steven Adams body-checked Fred to the point where Fred fell over. Fred is not a flopper. This is not like Kyle fell over or whatever. Fred does not do that, okay? He's trying to cover the number one option on the other team in a late game, one possession. He's not just going to fall over off an off-ball screen, all right? What happened was Steven Adams, as he normally does, at the last second, as the defender tries to evade the screen, he sidesteps and, you know, collides hip on hip. And it literally knocked Fred down. And it was right in front of the sideline officials. I don't know how they didn't call it. The Raptors had to scramble a little bit. They didn't get the mismatches, or didn't get their assignments right. And ultimately, they found Bledsoe in the corner for three. That put the Pelicans up three. So, you know, a bit of bad offensive, you know, execution, absolutely. But also just, you know, some very regrettable officiating. Again, 28 free throws. I don't know if you're going to win despite that. But I do admire the Raptors for making that comeback. I think, you know, for me, I have, especially with the way the Raptors are playing right now, I have lowered my expectation. So I don't really expect them to be last year's team. I don't expect them to be as composed. It's pretty clear at this point that they're searching, right? You see Nick trying out different lineup combinations, see new guys off the bench every single day, you know, and that's just going to be what it is. So the Raptors are trying and they're struggling. You know, I don't expect them to play amazing every day. And I thought the fact that the Raptors didn't roll over today and actually made a really good comeback, I'm impressed. I'm really impressed. Again, that's lowering the bar. You know, last season, this is a game they probably don't even fall into that big of a hole, and they probably, I mean, if they do make a comeback last year, they made every complete comeback, all right? That's just how it went last year. But that's last year. This is this year. This year is not last year. And, yeah, the Raptors got to work through it, man. I thought there were some positives in there, and I'll get to those, but I think this is the point where I have to touch on Pascal, so... Pascal, okay, so he fouls out of the Sixers game, right? I talked about it already. Sixers game, 7 minutes, in the last 7 minutes, this man commits five fouls in 7 minutes. That is, almost impossible. But okay, he commits five fouls in 7 minutes. He goes to the locker room early, and, you know, that is something that the team took exception to. I'm not sure what happened in the locker room. Again, I don't know if something happened in the locker room. I'm just saying that it seems a little bit over the top to bench a guy just for going early into the locker room. Regardless, Pascal gets disciplined for a game, and he doesn't play against the Knicks. Okay, the Raptors now win against the Knicks, so whatever. But that was also the Knicks, and the Knicks shot 3 of 36 from 3. But, I mean, you know, coming into this game, you expect Pascal to be better. You really do. You know, you expect Pascal to respond. Or even if he doesn't respond, you just expect Pascal to play a good game. Let's be real, right? I mean, you know, we're not really talking about... Again, it's similar to the Raptors as a whole, right? We're not really expecting, like, a superstar performance necessarily in a game-to-game basis. But can you just be a... Can you just give a decent performance? And today, he failed to even do that. I mean, he was a negative on both ends. Rarely do you say Pascal's a negative on defense, but he was a negative on defense tonight, in addition to the fact that he struggled offensively. First off, He only played 25 minutes. He fouled out again. Again, he fouled out. Nick Nurse, he was battling foul trouble all game. Nick plays Pascal in the fourth quarter. 9 minute mark, he picks up his fifth foul. Nick decides, I'm going to roll with it. I'm going to trust Pascal. I need to show some, you know, trust in my star, especially after I discipline him. And then a few minutes later, Pascal picks up the foul. It was a light foul. I think, it was Josh Hart driving out of the corner. The Raptors were in rotation and Pascal was there. There was some contact, but it wasn't like he knocked him over or huge contact, but whatever. It was called the sixth foul and Pascal fouls out. And, you just look at it today, for example. Pascal, 25 minutes, minus 16. 10 points, 4 of 10 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3. He got the spin move to work for the first time all season. It's been 5 games. He made the spicy spin happen. It literally shed a single tear because it used to be his go-to move, and now he does it once every 5 games successfully. He had a nice little Euro step, getting to the basket, coming off the pick and roll, I think, one-on-one at the top. One-on-one off the pick and roll, I think he got Ingram leading the wrong way, was able to get into the paint, Euro stepped around Brandon Ingram, around Zion Williamson, and finished at the rim before Steve Adams got there at the rim. So that's a nice play. That's a legitimately nice play. It's probably the best drive he's had all year, but you look at the overall product, it was not good. Early in the game, Pascal tried to set up in the post, made some good passes, guys weren't hitting. I think OG was missing some shots. Pascal then tried to pass it out of the post. Baines was trying to be there for him on the baseline, but as he often does, Baines kind of cramped the spacing, and Pascal could not deliver the pass successfully to Baines against a double team. And he just never got into the game. He never got into the rhythm. And because he was in foul trouble, his defense was really, really soft, and there were a lot of errors that Ingram was able to exploit, or Williamson, especially in that third quarter when Pascal was really trying to play off. You can't play off against Zion, man. That guy's going to take the space and, just spin and muscle past you. And it's just not enough. And, I will commend Pascal for speaking to the media afterwards. Let's be real. Toronto media is not a very tigerish group as a whole. We're not going to, grill a guy. It's just not. I don't think we don't really have that kind of personality in the media. Well, at least in the core media that generally shows up. Occasionally, you'll see somebody. But, I also don't think it necessarily needs anyone to grill him. I think the questions are all all pretty difficult. And I'll give Pascal credit. He didn't run away from too many things. Obviously, he doesn't like the fact that he has gotten such a tight whistle. The last 2 games he's played, he's committed. Over the last 30 minutes that Pascal has played in the NBA, he's picked up 11 fouls. That is hilarious. But he didn't make any excuses, and that's just kind of generally how it goes, with Pascal. And I don't know what to say. I don't know. I don't really feel interest in excusing it. I don't know if it's a lack of effort or where it is, a lack of confidence. We're not there. I'm not speaking to him. I'm watching the game. What I'm watching is he's not performing. And today was his worst game of the season. This was worse than even the Sixers game. And it's just something they got to work out. It really is. I think, obviously Nick was asked about it a ton after the game. It was kind of telling to me the Nick's answer to, how do you get Pascal going again is, he characterized him as a hustle player. And, said, look, you need to see the impact in transition and the open floor. Need to see the defense being at a high level, and that wasn't there for Pascal today for, mostly foul trouble, but, come on, you could still play. If you played great defense, you wouldn't be in foul trouble. And that's telling to me, because essentially what Nick is telling me is just like, go back to the basics. And, for a guy like Pascal, so much of his progress and effort has been trying to diversify his game to sort of fit in this role of being a number one guy and handling and shooting and doing all this other stuff, essentially creating a player that is entirely different from what he used to be. Honestly, if you took the progress that he's made with the jumpers and the assists and everything like that, and you combine it with what he used to have in the paint, which was just, I don't even want to talk about it. He was fantastic in the paint. you know, and you put it all together, he would be a great player. But it's just, it's gone to the point where the Raptors are essentially asking him to just, you forget the star thing, forget all the contracts, whatever. Just do what you did that made you successful in the first place, that made you even in a position to receive star calls and everything, like, or star touches and everything like that. Go back to that. And, you know, I don't know, man. I hope Pascal responds. I don't think it's a negative thing. It's not like the Raptors are dismissing all the other progress that it's made. It's just, you need to do what you do well first and then do everything else, right? Like, you know, like, that's probably what most people expect from work, to be honest, right? Like, you know, I talked to my bosses and they were like, you know, Will, you're not performing well. I need to deliver, you know, 10 things after the game. I need to deliver this podcast after the game, and I need to do so at an effective rate. And of course, everything else I can build on top of that and expand my career and you know, all this other stuff on top of that. But you need to do your bread and butter first. And Pascal, you know, that part's been missing from his game. So we'll see how he responds. I mean, he's just seems to have taken the punishment well, I guess. Didn't pout or, you know, face the media, everything like that. It's just, you know, he's just got to play better. That's easier said than done. But yeah, he's just got to play better. In terms of the rest of the team, I think actually, honestly, a lot of positives. I thought OG responded really well to a really, really brutal first half where he just kept missing shots. And offensively, you know, was really active. I think, you know, it seems like in tough games, OG does really come through. And I do commend him for that. I thought in the fourth quarter, he delivered, a three-point play, a corner three, and a free throw. So 7 points in the fourth quarter, that's not bad. It's not bad for OG, man. It's not bad. He also had a spectacular block on Zion at the rim, which was initially called a foul, but turns out Kyle Lowry took a charge upon review. But OG at the top of the play was what stood out to me because, man, Zion driving one-on-one against you, trying to go in for a layup, and you block him point blank? That takes some real skill. That takes some real defensive ability to do that. I thought, you know, Fred was really good. I know you're going to look at the number and say, well, 9 of 23 from the field for 27 points. It's not that efficient. I'm telling you, Fred carried this team for a solid stretch there, man. He carried this team just like he kind of carried them against the Knicks a little bit. I'm impressed by what Fred is doing. I really am. I think right now the only thing that's not really working well for Fred is the pull-up jumper. He hasn't really hit a pull-up three, I don't think, all season. Or if he has, it hasn't been that many. I've seen him come out the pick and roll when he has space. He's just missing those shots. But catch and shoot, he's money. Mid-range, he's been, you know, better. He's mixing in one or two mid-range shots a game, which I like. And he's got to the rim. He's finished there. He had a really acrobatic finish today where he's kind of back to the basket against two defenders, flicked it up high off the glass, rolled in. You know, no complaints whatsoever. And honestly, he's just playing really well, man. I mean, the second quarter, Fred played the whole second quarter, was mad exhausted, mad tired, and basically was Pascal being out against the Knicks and also today out due to foul trouble. Fred has had to step up as a second star, and honestly, at times, the number one star on this team, and that's not Fred's role whatsoever, but I commend him for doing that. I commend him, honestly, his leadership in the course of the game, in the course of the team, in terms of even in just, like, speaking for the team after tough losses like this one. Fred has really stepped up enough in that regard. He's obviously always had that, but he's doing it more and more as the team needs him. You got no complaints, man. Fred's balled out. And you know, I thought he played really well today. Defensively, they absolutely need him. My only gripe is Fred and Kyle. So Fred played 40 minutes. Kyle played 39. You need a third string point guard. And TD is not it. He's not a point guard. The number one thing you want out of your point guard is to make good decisions. And can anyone say that TD is a good decision maker? I cannot. This is where I will say once again, Malachi Flynn, you have Malachi Flynn at home. He's just chilling there. He's on the bench. I see him once in a while. I'm like, oh yeah, that's him. And I'm not saying he's going to come in and just like be a star for the team and just like, I know a lot of people are excited to see Malachi, myself included. I don't think anyone is saying Malachi's going to come in because he's going to come in and give you like, you know, 20 and 10. He's going to be Steve Nash. It's not going to happen. But I'm just saying, it's kind of the same issue as last year. The Raptors don't have a backup point guard off the bench, and so Fred and Kyle are having to carry so much of the playmaking, especially with Pascal struggling, that, you know, again, you have another guard on the bench, maybe use him, but, you know, Nick is trying. He's trying different things. Norm, After that Knicks game, played pretty okay today. Pretty okay is how I expect Norm to play, to be honest. You know, there's a couple four shots in there. Norm going 0 for 4 from two-point range. Again, I miss Norm making all sorts of layups last year. He's coming up short on a lot of these. He's taking a few, like, awkward leaning mid-range push-shots where I'm like, what are you doing? That's not your shot. But, you know, he was 4 of 6 from 3. He had to pull up 3. He had to foul at the end, but, I mean, you know what you're getting with Norm. It's the reason he's coming off the bench. He was okay today. Chris, I thought Chris played amazing. The Raptors keep finding ways to play Chris because Chris has been huge. Now, today, Pascal being in foul trouble, the Raptors needed some backup power forward minutes. Stanley Johnson came in for a little bit, played 12 minutes, had the Tony Snell, you know, nothing. You know, like, he had a rebound, he had one assist, one steal, and one personal foul, and missed one shot in 12 minutes. You know, he was very active, but did a lot of nothing actively. So, you know, whatever. I mean, Stanley's cracked the rotation, I guess, because he's played decently. And again, against teams that have size, and the Pelicans do have size. I mean, when you look at Ingram, Williamson, Adams, that's a pretty big front court. You know, I don't disagree with using Stanley. Having said that, though, he is going to provide you nothing on offense. But yeah, you know, the Raptors needed a backup power forward, and with Pascal being in foul trouble, and Chris Boucher stepped up and did that. And the way the Raptors were able to do that, similar to the Knicks game, was they played Boucher alongside another center. So whether that was Baines or Len, and it worked pretty decently. I don't know if the plus minus was that great. I haven't seen the lineup data for this game, but I just from the eye test, you know, I thought the fact that the Raptors had another center inside the paint kept that paint protection there, helped with the rebounding, while at the same time, offensively, Boucher can just play the same role, whether he's at power forward or at center, because the other center, when they are playing with Boucher, whether it's Len or Baines, they're just sticking in the corners. You know, they're not coming to the screen, they're not doing that, not involved. They're just there to space the floor, and of course, if the ball comes out to them, you know, hopefully they can hit it. I don't really have huge expectations for Len or Baines to hit a bunch of threes. But Boucher can still stay in the middle of the floor and play pick and roll. And Boucher was really solid at that. Now, my only small nitpick is that there were a lot of layups that Boucher could have converted against some light contact at the basket. You know, if he converts those, that becomes an and one. Whereas instead he goes to the free throw line for two. And, you know, it's hard to complain about two free throws. It really is. And Boucher is consistently impacting the paint, which is hard to say for this Raptors team that shoots so many threes and, you know, is so limited at the rim. But having said that, I thought Boucher was quite good. His activity was good. The Raptors played a zone as well when it was smaller with Boucher. And, yeah, Boucher has delivered. I mean, he's been the breakout player for the season. The first game against the Pelicans, he was good. Against the Spurs, he had, what, 22-10 and 7 blocks. Then he doesn't really play against Philly because of the matchups. Although, honestly, if they wanted to play my power forward, I wouldn't have complained. He played well against the Knicks. He closed that game out against the Knicks, made a bunch of plays down the stretch. Didn't have an efficient game overall, but was impactful. And today, 24 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, a block. Blocked a 3 by Ingram on the perimeter. So Boucher played quite well, and he's been, honestly, the Raptors. I mean, he's been one of the Raptors' 5 best players of the season so far. And I don't know if that necessarily means you want to start him. I do believe that Boucher and Siakam is a iffy front court because they're just both so skinny. And, you know, that's a bit small. I'm really, really... I think the Raptors have played their best when they've had proper size on the floor this year, especially in the front court. But, you know, Boucher was quite solid and he deserves some positives. So, I mean, I think Nick is still searching. I think he's still looking for combinations. You know, he's tried out Watanabe a little bit against the Knicks. He's tried out Bembry early in the season. Now he's gone. Matt Thomas early in the season, he's not playing. So I expect more shuffling. Hopefully Flynn gets a look. I'm just asking for a look. If he comes in for 2 games and gives you the TD special, then yeah, okay, fine. You know, keep shuffling. But, you know, it's something worth looking at. But overall, the Raptors played, you know, some real solid spurts and they lost. It sucks that they lost for sure, but I'm going to try to be optimistic. I think the fact that they lost in a blowout in the first game of the Pelicans and today they lost in a very, very close game where they lost because Pascal fouled out and the Pelicans shot 28 free throws in the fourth quarter. Again, 28 free throws in the fourth quarter. I just I might have to speak to the manager. I you know, I've never really had that kind of personality, you know, to speak to a manager. But damn, can I speak to Adam Silver about 28 free throws, please? I don't care about whatever else Adam is working on or whatever. Just please, Mr. Space Alien, can you tell me why the Pelicans shot 28 free throws? In terms of your three stars, I'm going to go with Fred as your first star. 27 points, 8 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, a block, plus 3 in 40 minutes, 9 of 23 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. Yeah, Fred has been playing really well. You know, he's a little up and down in the first two games, but he's played really well. Nothing but respect for what Fred is doing. Second star going out to Chris. 24 points, 5 rebounds, an assist, 2 steals, a block, 7 of 13 from the field, 1 for 4 from 3. I like that Chris is turning down a lot of these threes, because a lot of times he kind of pump fakes and I'm like, no! I'm screaming no at my laptop, but he's turning those down. He's playing pick and roll. He's diving. He's playing the short roll. He's making himself available to catch the ball and then actually making a hard roll to the basket. Sometimes he doesn't finish, but I mean, honestly, he's been pretty productive. So 9 of 9 from the free throw line. He's had the second most free throw attempts of any Raptor this season. Good for him, man. Chris has played really well, so he's the second star. And then your third star, you can kind of go a lot of places with it. I'm going to give it to Kyle over OG. I'm going to give it to Kyle because even though it wasn't a spectacular Kyle game, I thought he waited a little bit too long to take over. Was real quiet throughout the first three quarters, passed a lot. But in the fourth quarter, you know, as you would expect, he stepped up a little bit. He took a charge on Zion Williamson, which I've been making that joke for a year plus since Zion got drafted, that Kyle's going to take a charge on Zion. And of course, he did it in spectacular fashion, I might have to add. And then another play where he turned the ball over, a lazy pass to, you know, I think to Fred on the perimeter. It got picked out by Bledsoe. Bledsoe runs the other way. And Kyle and Fred, their hustle and effort down this, to recover that transition, to force a miss, and then ultimately an offensive rebound and a kickout that led to nowhere, that created a turnover in that tight of a moment. It was just great to see. But yeah, Kyle, 16, 6, and 8, you know, didn't shoot the ball efficiently, didn't get inside to score too much. But, you know, again, without Kyle, none of these comebacks are possible. So he's got the third star. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Eric Bledsoe once again. This is where I tell you that Eric Bledsoe against the Raptors is 8 of 14 from 3 in the two games. And that in all other games this season, Eric Bledsoe is 4 of 18 from 3. And you might say, oh, yeah, it's the Raptors' fault. You know, like they help off shooters and, you know, they double. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, the Raptors do help off shooters and stuff. Every single team in the NBA helps off Eric Bledsoe. And the fact that Bledsoe has shot 4 of 18 against everyone else and 8 of 14 against the Raptors has been soul-crushing to see that. Bledsoe, to end the third quarter, hit a heavily contested 3 to push the Pelicans' lead. It always sucks to go into a quarter having given up a 3, especially a real contested one. That should have been a brick all the way. And then Bledsoe hitting a 3 at the end of the fourth quarter to put the Pelicans up 3 and for good. You know, just absolute daggers. But yeah, Bledsoe, I mean, even besides the threes, honestly, he did a really good job of just breaking down the Raptors' zone, getting into the middle of the zone, forcing someone to step up, and then kicking it out, or either kicking it out or finding Williamson on the inside for a layup. It was kind of annoying to watch, but Bledsoe played well, man. I don't know where this was for the Bucks, but 19-5-10 for Bledsoe today with the 4-3. So tough game, tough loss. You know, if you want to be pessimistic, go ahead. I think there's obviously lots of things to be negative about, but I'm going to choose to see it as a positive. Look, 2021, new year, new me. I don't really mean that, but look, it's hard to be negative all the time. I think if you lower expectations and look at this game, they improved as compared to the first game against the Pelicans, and it was winnable. And that's probably the most frustrating part, is that okay, the first Pelican game was a blowout. The Raptors never made a comeback, whatever. They did lead, but whatever. The Spurs game, mad close, they lost. And then the Sixers game, they were very, very close and they lost. And the Pelicans game, they were very, very close and they lost. So that's always going to burn, especially because last year the Raptors were quite good in the crunch time. But it is what it is at the moment. They got to work through it. Pascal got to play a lot better. I would settle for Pascal as a number 3 option for this team at the moment, because Kyle and Fred are there. They're both playing well. Please, Pascal, can you just be a 3? Just a number 3 option, where, you know, where he's most comfortable. Please, just do that, right? Because it's been tough. And that, and of course, you know, defensively, the Raptors still got to figure out a couple of things. You know, it's never a good time when you give up 28 free throws, because as much as I would say that number is absurd, and it is absurd, that still is a sign of some pretty sloppy mistakes, and the Raptors do need to absolutely lock down on defense, because I don't think offensively it's going to catch up to them. So they need to be great on defense. They weren't great on defense tonight, so that's why they lost. So thanks everyone for listening. Appreciate everybody. Happy New Year. I know 2021 is getting off with a loss, but it is what it is. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And yeah, I'll be back after the Raptors play their next game. Please win, Raptors. Please. All right? Please. We are all hoping that you win.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.